I'd ask that everyone...
Everyone have a copy of this. Does anyone not have a copy? I saw people circulating and most people grab these very rapidly and say, oh, let's have...
I'd like to thank, before I begin my presentation, Carlos Hagen and Richard Perry for their kind watchdogging over me. I'm sure they look after all of you in the same fashion, and it is especially helpful that Richard Perry was able to accept mailing of these this material so I didn't have to carry it over. I'd had a heat stroke today, but it really is a very special treatment that you receive, and this is the first time I've had the opportunity to speak to the Arts Group, although I've been a member for a few years. And I really appreciate the program planning. I think it's very special. I'd also like to thank the person who helps me a great deal in much of the research that I have been able to do. You might say, well, why did you have to thank Carlos and Richard and be so kind? And see, the question was really secondary. Any organization that would have Bill Shirk as a member is immediately suspect. You'll see Bill tomorrow reporting on Ray Bourbon, and you'll know why I make that comment about the suspect nature of his affiliations. Bill and I have worked together on research activities for the past 20 years. It's particularly appropriate that I say something in regard to a sound recording archivist at this organization, because it is through his help and through his attention that I'm able to complete my research activities. It is certainly not a case that I am one of you in the sense of being a great collector, because I collect only those items which I'm going to use functionally to teach with. But being able to have access to resources such as those held in the sound recording archives of Bowling Green State University, and being able to get there, which the National Endowment for the Humanities provided one plane trip at a time when I was teaching in South Carolina, has been a special benefit to me. And certainly the paper I present today is but a small portion of some much larger research that Bill and I are both pursuing, having to do with the expansion of two topics, one being the last chapter in a book that I did for the Greenwood Press, where I tried to look at themes which were of interest in the nature of youth culture. And I got into some novelty records at that time. And then a paper that Bill had prepared on children's music. And he presented that paper for the first time last October at the Midwest Popular Culture Association. We're both working on children's themes now and trying to explore not only the ideas that are maybe found in recordings related to children, but even children's singers and the influence then of those recordings on adult music in the popular line. And I'd say the popular line because I go from 1950 to the present. Bill, you know, he's not happy unless he's got the whole span of recorded music. Sort of what my students would say, oh, the Julius Caesar syndrome, you know, back. When I teach a course in the Images of American Society and Popular Music, when I talk to my students about old music, they regard anything that Michael Jackson did on the Thriller album as old. It's a very difficult thing to communicate. All right, let me talk a minute about Little Red Riding Hood meets Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs. You have the paper in front of you. I don't intend to read it to you. I would simply indicate that what I'm looking at is hinted at in the first sentence of the paper, where I say that lyricists of popular songs derive their ideas from every imaginable source. Certainly, literature has provided lyricists with many, many sources. Poor William Shakespeare never dreamed that Romeo and Juliet would be used in these particular fashions, nor did Lewis Carroll ever think that all of his activities with Alice would go to Jefferson Airplane. But that is one aspect. I could add another, noting that children's rhymes, children's ideas, bubbled to the surface in popular recordings and popular lyrics during the 60s when we had what was called the bubblegum music. And you had Simon Says, and then you had all of these rhymes and ideas that came out. Well, over the period much longer than the 60s, and I stopped at the 50s for this particular paper, but it goes earlier than that, of course, you have seen the use of nursery rhymes and fairy tales in music. And what I want to show you today are really the audio examples of this. The paper spells out some of the ideas that I've gotten, and this is certainly a preliminary study. But if you'll look at the paper at some time and try to get a flavor for what I was doing, I've also included a discography that is arranged by the particular nursery rhymes or fairy tales, and then the recordings that have those themes in them. And I think you might find that of interest. If you'll turn now to page 7, where it says Little Red Riding Hood, it is this that I want to read to you as introduction, and then I want to play something for you. There was once upon a time a little village girl, the prettiest ever seen or known, of whom her mother was devotingly fond. Her grandmother was even fonder of her still, and had a little red hood made for the child which suited her so well that everywhere she went, she was known by the name of Little Red Riding Hood. What a lovely story. We've all heard it dozens of times. Those of us who are parents have read it more times than we want to claim. Let me go on with my text. Complete with introductory wolf calls, wolf howls, Sam the Sham greets a big-eyed, full-lipped Little Red Riding Hood and escorts her through the spooky old woods, camouflaged in his best sheep suit. What I'm describing for you now are the lyrics of songs that have used this Little Red Riding Hood theme. What a big heart he has. The initial physical attraction continues throughout the recording, which ends prior to the couple's arrival at Grandma's house. In contrast to that woodsy scene, the big bopper comes calling directly at Red's home, claiming that he has heard about her good looks from the three little pigs. Using a catchy bing-bang, biddly-bang knock, punctuated by threats to huff and puff and blow her house down, the bopper, admitting that he's the notorious big bad wolf of the neighborhood, pleads with the young lady for some personal attention. His stated desire is to shake the shack with Rock and Rollin' Red until her grandma returns. But Little Red Riding Hood refuses his insistent pleas to go tickalaka, tickalaka, and let him in. D. Clark also describes a wolf who wants to rock and roll, but this crooning lobo follows the traditional fairy tale more closely by putting Grandma out of her house and then surprising Red with his big eyes and his big arms. Although Little Red Riding Hood remains an undescribed delicacy in this lyrical version, the conclusion of the story is left to the listener's imagination. Meanwhile, the coasters deliver an upbeat hepcat story about a red-capped chick that every wolf desires. In Riding Hood, the heroine is first seen proceeding to Grandma's house with a sack full of goodies. Her groovy motivation attracts an ugly wolf who seeks to become her chaperone. "Later, Dad," she responds. Although the wolf dashes ahead to Grandma's house, Granny is prepared for an intruder and whomps him on the head 10 times with her cane. The wounded wolf flees, howling to a nearby woods. Finally, Stan Freeberg, in a parody of Jack Webb's Dragnet series, investigates a gun-toting Little Blue Riding Hood, ties Grandma up in order to get the facts on the sweet-talking goodies ring participant, and then arrests the little female thief and her elderly relative. Now, I'd like to play for you the songs that I've described, and it really is impossible in print to describe these things, and this is the very rationale for sound recording archives. It doesn't really matter, I've found, how much I write down about the music if there isn't access to it. Let me play you some songs, and I'd ask you to turn. I'm going to drive you crazy because my numbering system goes up to about 16. Okay? Well, page 17 becomes page 1, and that's what I want you to turn to. And I'd like you to follow now the texts of these songs so you can see the translation of the nursery rhyme fairy tale system into song. Enjoy this.
Who's that I see walking in these woods? Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. He said, little Red Riding Hood, why don't you come along with me? Then the wolf cried, ooh, ooh, let's rock and roll. Then he grabbed little Red Riding Hood with father head. He wasn't too fast, he didn't understand.
Yeah. has been changed to prevent an investigation.
This is the Woods. My name is Wednesday. I work on a homicide. Monday, February the 2nd, 10:22 a.m. Bumped into Chicken Lickin. Told me this guy was falling. I booked her on the 614, turned her over to the psychiatrist. Then a call came in at 503. When I was on my way to the 503, a 618 came in. I added up the 614, the 503, and the 618. Got 1,735. I handed in my paper to the chief. He corrected it, gave me 100%, patted me on the head. Told me I was a good cop. 11:45 a.m. it happened. I saw a little girl in a blue hood carrying a basket. I stopped to question her. Pardon me, ma'am, could I talk to you for just a minute, ma'am?
What about?
Nothing much, ma'am. Just want to ask you a few questions, ma'am. What's your name?
Little Blue Riding Hood.
Where are you going, ma'am?
Grandma's house.
Yes, ma'am. What do you got in the basket?
What are you trying to say? I got something in the basket I shouldn't have?
No, ma'am, I didn't say that.
Then why are you asking me all these questions for?
Just routine, ma'am. We just want to get the facts. May I have a look in that basket, ma'am?
Be my guest.
Let's see. Sawed-off shotgun, knife, bludgeon, box of tom-tom shells. Nothing suspicious here. All right, ma'am, we may want to talk to you later, so don't leave the woods. She skipped on down the path, but she didn't know I'd seen the concealed compartment in the basket. In it, what I suspected all along, goodies. My job, get to Grandma's before she did. I took a shortcut through the strawberry patch. It was sort of a strawberry shortcut. I walk up to the cottage, rang the bell. Okay, Grandma, it's a raid.
A raid? Why, I'm just a peace-loving old lady. You've got the wrong Grandma.
Yes, ma'am. We just want to get the facts. Where'd you get that bump on your head?
The sky fell on me this morning.
I made a note to book her on the 614 and turned her over to the psychiatrist. I tied her up, put her in the closet, then I put on the Grandma's suit and got into bed. Come in, ma'am.
Hello, Grandma. I got the loot. What are you doing in bed?
I'm feeling poorly.
Grandma, what big ears you have.
All the better to get the facts. I just want to get the facts, ma'am.
But, Grandma, what a big subpoena you have in your pocket.
All the better to serve you with.
But, Grandma, what a big 38 police special you have pointed at me.
All the better to take you in. You're under arrest. You and your grandma are operating a goodies ring.
A cop. I should have known.
Known what, ma'am?
You look nothing like my grandma. You forgot about the mustache.
But I don't have a mustache.
I know, but Grandma does.
Well, I see you broke the goodies ring. How'd you get a lead on her, Joe?
I just played a hunch, Frank. It was just a hunch. I played my luck. Sometimes a hunch pays off, sometimes it doesn't. I was just lucky. I just played a hunch, Frank.
What you're trying to say, Joe, is you just played a hunch. A lucky guess. Sometimes a hunch pays off, sometimes it doesn't. You just played a hunch. Is that what you're trying to tell me, Joe?
Yeah, I just played a hunch.
Thank you. What you see there are illustrations of taking the fairy tale nursery rhyme themes and adapting them to the recordings. I've passed out some examples of cartoons that will illustrate exactly the same thing. Any genre which calls for a very, very brief telling of a tale can rely upon traditional information to provide a much broader scope of information. The mere repetition of the Little Red Riding Hood story here is told in 2-minute segments, but all of us have assumptions about that that help us understand. Recordings that use these literary images are doing just that for us, and that's really the footnote to the paper. You also see examples of very comedic performers using the wildest examples of howls and rasps and hoots and howls, much as the greatest storytellers that have lived prior to recordings have used always. It gains attention, it is simply fun. Once again, this is part of an ongoing research with the idea of youthful concerns in mind. And once again, I express my appreciation to Bill Shirk for helping me along the way where I was searching through literally hundreds of recordings that had what I thought might or might not be fairy tale bases. And when I sent him a list of 120 songs saying, Bill, I can't get hold of these records anywhere, would you please help me with them? Within 2 weeks, I had a response of all those recordings back, gave me an opportunity to analyze them, and certainly set this paper up. So although Bill is not a co-author of this paper, it certainly is an example of a sound recording archivist serving a researcher very, very well. I thank you for the opportunity to share this with you. I hope you enjoyed the paper and the tape, and I wish you good luck in your conference the rest of the days. Thank you.